you guys.
You'll have to meet.
Tom was last week. I just have the name of the...
Good evening. I'd like to call this Monroe City Council meeting to order. This is a regular business meeting for Tuesday, July 22nd. The time is just after 7 p.m. Liz, can you call the roll, please?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Gehring.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford and Councilmember Rasmussen had notified us that they would be gone this evening last week, and Councilmember Cutterback contacted me earlier this evening to advise me that she was not going to be here, so they'll be marked as excused. Councilmember Camp, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilmember. The first item that we have on this evening's agenda is announcements and presentations. Tonight we have a presentation from Sergeant Ryan on the East Snohomish County Retail Theft Group. Sergeant Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate the invitation to speak on behalf of the East Snohomish County Retail Theft Group. This is a new effort the police department's championing to reduce the incidence of shoplift in the city of Monroe. In the past year, we've seen an increase in it. In 2013, we had 56 incidents of shoplift throughout the entire year. Up to today's date this year, we're already up to 45. So on this date last year, we had just about half of that, so we've seen almost 100% increase in shoplift. In the city of Monroe, this is not something that's just strictly to our city. Conversations I've had with some folks over in Snohomish is that they've seen similar statistics in Snohomish Station, where Kohl's, Fred Meyer, Home Depot are. So it kind of seems like shoplifting is one of those cyclical crimes that's kind of come to the forefront here, and it's affecting our business community. So the police department's at least taken the initiative to get this retail theft group started, where we've tried to increase communication among our business partners. So. In early March or April, we met with the Chamber of Commerce and kind of laid out our plan to increase communication exchange. And on May 8th, we had our first meeting. At that particular meeting at the Chamber, we created an email list with some of our business partners in the city. We decided we wanted to meet on a monthly basis to exchange information. And it doesn't just relate to shoplift. We've been discussing graffiti abatement. In the future, we're going to be discussing grocery cart issues moving throughout the city and how to better keep those at the businesses. And everyone who attends the meetings offered an opportunity to just present general information. At that first meeting, we had 18 individuals present representing 8 businesses along the SR2 corridor. And one of the things I wanted to pass on is that, particularly with shoplift in this city, what we've seen is that it's mostly affecting businesses along the SR2 corridor. Although we have seen some of the incidents along Main Street as well. So, the legislature a few years ago helped police departments and businesses in this particular effort by allowing merchants to share their information with each other. Merchants allowed to share their information with police departments, and I think the most important part of this is police departments sharing their information with merchants. The specific RCW is 4.24.340, and it says merchants and other parties who create a database of individuals who have been apprehended in the process of committing a property crime, assessed a civil fine or penalty for committing a property crime, or convicted of a property crime are not subject to civil fines or penalties for sharing information from the database with other merchants, law enforcement officials, or legal professionals. That's what we're trying to do, is get the information to all the business partners, sharing it with other police agencies, and at least in the last few meetings, it seems to be working. The other specific RCW that's helping us in this particular effort is organized retail theft. This is, again, a pretty new RCW, which allows many misdemeanors to be lumped together if the value equals $750 over a 6-month time frame. So what's happening is we're finding folks are shoplifting $30 here, $30 there, maybe $30 in another jurisdiction. If we can get up to that 750 in 6 months, it turns it into a felony. And without sharing the information, we weren't getting there. We're sharing photographs. The businesses are sharing surveillance photos. They're sharing their apprehension photos. And the police department is sharing our photos as well, our administrative booking photos. In particular cases where we have a whodunit, we're sharing those, trying to solve that. And lastly, there is a internet-based platform called Masorca. It's the Washington State Organized Retail Crime Alliance. This was a website that was started by a Tacoma police officer in 2010. But law enforcement and retailers and business owners can join this web-based platform. And the Monroe Police Department is uploading photographs to this particular website. There's a vetting process for getting a username and a password. But the nice thing is it's kind of a platform for us sharing our information about suspects that are stealing. And of course, everyone depicted on the website is innocent until proven guilty. And that's in big red letters. So, a few success stories I just wanted to touch on. At our last meeting, we distributed a surveillance photo from one of our retail partners in town. A gentleman had cut a cable to, I believe it was a tablet computer, and then had ran out the store. We didn't know who it was, but when we showed the photo at the meeting, a Snohomish police sergeant said, "Hey, we just had a case on the same guy." And he said, "And I think the same guy also did one in the city of Everett." So just the sharing of the one photo, we were able to link three particular cases, which would have been misdemeanors for each particular jurisdiction, but now that we've linked them together, it'll be a felony when we identify the subject. The police department's obviously been placing a greater emphasis on shoplifting, and on a street level, what we're seeing is officers are just keeping their eye out for it, maybe just more in the past than they have in the past. We had an incident, an officer driving through a parking lot in one of our retail districts and saw a gentleman walking out the doors with a handbasket full of meat. Maybe sometimes people look at a handbasket and a bag of meat and don't think anything about it, but a police officer, obviously maybe looking a little bit more critically, interrupted a shoplifting in progress. And that particular suspect also had stolen property from another grocery store in town. And then our PROAC team was surveilling a parking lot the other day, and they interrupted a gentleman running out of a business. And when they stopped that particular vehicle, that gentleman had stolen property in his vehicle from three different businesses in town. So, the other thing I've seen is some of the businesses have district loss prevention officers, which means they cover multiple stores across the district, and Monroe hasn't necessarily been their priority. So at our last meeting, we adjourned. Within 15 minutes, a district loss prevention officer returned to his store and made an apprehension of a gentleman for shoplifting. And then within 3 days after that, that same gentleman, the suspect, actually shoplifted from another store in town. So it's we're seeing the same people, but the police department's placing an emphasis on it, and I'm seeing the same thing from loss prevention officers too. So the last thing I wanted to mention is Ben Franklin has been extremely helpful in this effort. They've actually provided a meeting space for us on a monthly basis, and I just wanted to publicly acknowledge them for their assistance to this. So I'll take any questions if you have any.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Thanks. Really interesting stuff. I appreciate the update. It sounds like it's kind of across the board. I was going to ask, is it kind of electronics that you're seeing, but it sounds like it might be food, it might be electronics, it might be kind of across the board of things that are being stolen, rather than just maybe more expensive?
Yeah, no, good question. The organized retail theft, the stealing and then reselling, I would say is kind of your non-grocery items. So we're seeing the electronics, the razors, the Crest whitening strips. Those are kind of popular items.
Really?
Sale.
Interesting.
Yeah. Liquor is actually starting to become a problem, the stealing the liquor and reselling it. I know there have been cases regionally of liquor being sold to businesses, so that, and then obviously they resell it to their patrons. So, but locally, we're covering the whole gamut.
Yeah.
Grocery, non-grocery, electronics, Even our auto parts stores are getting hit with shoplifting. So
are the repeat offenders? You mentioned the one guy, mm-hmm. came right back 3 days later. Came right back, dude. Are these? Are these the addicts? Are these guys? So they need the money to get sell it to get the fix. Is that kind of who's doing that?
As much as shoplifting has kind of become the cyclical hot topic, I'm sure you've seen heroin is the same for drug use.
Right.
And when I started in 2005, meth labs were all the rage, and then it turned to OxyContin, and then it turned to heroin, and really. The majority of the folks that were arresting for shoplifting are heroin addicts. So,
thank you.
You bet.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Very impressive. I'm really amazed at how extensive your process is working. I have just a couple of questions. I wanted to see if I understood this correctly. So you said you're looking at the jurisdiction in terms of a $750 minimum, and then it becomes a felony. Thank you. Federation was popping into my head. It's not just the Monroe District, Monroe area. It's what, Snohomish County or?
Yeah, the RCW doesn't limit jurisdiction.
Also, it could be they steal from Monroe, they steal from Spokane. It's
correct.
Still falls in the same category.
And traditionally, that communication flow outside of your local law enforcement partners is usually pretty weak. So we're just trying to fix that.
You also mentioned that you're going business to business, or they can. They're allowed to communicate business to business in terms of people who are committing these crimes. Mm-hmm. Are you encouraging them to go more toward through the police department, or?
Great question. I'm sure you folks have seen this too, but when you ask for input, sometimes it's not always brought forth, mm-hmm. and sometimes you just need to be overt in what you're trying to seek and the help you're trying to fix in the community. Mm-hmm. This has been, I would describe it as more of an overt effort, but we're seeing great cooperation and excitement behind the program. It does take a lot of effort on my particular part to lead this group, and similar groups throughout Snohomish County are led by someone in the business community. So the intent of the program in the future is that it will be handed off to someone in the business community,
okay.
and then the police department will take more of a partnership role in the future.
So right now you're more of a direct lead role?
Correct.
In collecting this?
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet.
Councilmember Gary.
Thanks, Gary. thank you.
You were Gamp for a second there.
Gamp, yeah.
G. Yeah. You're right next to one another.
Dable, yeah. And we can mix them all up. Pawn shops in town. I know History Channel's not filming here in our pawn shop. are you getting help from them? Are they resistant? Because a lot of that stuff, I know people are trying to turn the quick buck. And
yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious where they are in town.
Yeah.
So you can see who's going in, but.
Yep.
You also don't have time to have somebody sit there all day to see who's going in the pawn shop. So,
yeah.
Are you getting cooperation from that kind of stuff? What's the reception with them?
So sometimes I think the perception on behalf of the victim is that their stolen property is being taken to a pawn shop in Monroe. I try to debunk that as much as I can, because stolen property is getting taken to pawn shops in a lot of our local cities. The nice thing is that pawn shops have to communicate to a database that law enforcement has access to and we have access to. And when we take a car broken into or an iPhone stolen at a school, we're able to plug the serial number model information into this pawn database and determine if it's been pawned. So,
okay.
But you're right, that's it, when you steal, you sell. It's all about the quick flip and making the money.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good. Any other comments? Thank you very much for all the work that you're doing on this.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The next item that we have on our agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-up sheet. Did anybody sign up? Okay. Is there anybody that would like to come forward and speak that didn't sign up? Anybody? Okay. Seeing none, we're going to move now on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Gehring.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Next item on the agenda is new business. This is AB 14-100, ordinance number 009-2014, adopting permanent marijuana-related land use regulations. This is for first reading. Paul?
Thank you, Mayor. This is a first reading for permanent adoption of zoning regulations for marijuana, the land use, where they can locate. These are, we have interim rights that will expire on August 23rd. And our second reading on this ordinance is August 12th, and that will come in, take effect immediately upon expiration of the current regulations. And they are exactly the same. The interim rents are just simply being changed to permanent adoption. And this, then as a quick reminder, this, and I have a map right after this, but this is what the zoning allows. We prohibit collective gardens, period. You can do production in the general industrial zone. That's where the Lakeview asphalt plant is. That's the only place in town that has general industrial zoning. You can process in a couple of areas, which I'll show you, and you can sell in the commercial zone. And what that looks like is this. Basically, you can see in the Frylands, there's a small area kind of in the middle of the industrial park where you can do processing potentially, and just north of Highway 2 near the fairgrounds, another place
Sorry,
where
Paul.
You can do processing.
That green area right up there?
Yeah.
It's the only area.
That's the light green, that's the Lakewood?
Here on Cascade View?
By Frylands, that area right there.
That's the warehouse. There How'd you do that, Paul?
Thank you.
Thank you, Liz.
Yeah, processing.
Got it.
And the general industrial is really limited information. It's not showing up. You can barely see it, but it's
well, that light green.
Just northwest of Walmart. Now, the retail is a little different. This would be Kelsey coming up through here. Here's Walmart right here, Galaxy Theaters. So on those two parcels and just a little bit of a ring around there, you could, if you could find a property and a willing landlord, open up a retail space. And then on the other side of Chain Lake Road, which is here, on the east side of Chain Lake, there could be retail sales, again, if you find a property and a landlord. So it's possible, but it's pretty much, it's prohibited by the fact that I can't get a business license pending a challenge on the law. But, so we have a standing in our zoning regs that severely limits where they can locate. You know, if for some reason the business license procedure fails or is challenged successfully, then we're pretty well protected. I say it's going to take a willing property and willing landlord or a landlord. That's where we're at. The rest of this, the red are the areas that have to be buffered, if you recall, and the orange is the area that the 1,000-foot buffer from all of these red spots. So it pretty much covers almost the entire town. Well, you can also do the processing down here on 177. That's a Remender property, right down here. So that's where that stands. That is first reading, second reading, like I said, August.
Okay. We do have a couple questions. First one is Councilmember Gamble.
Well, actually, I was just going to say that, I mean, you kind of restated it. I mean, there's nothing that's changed since we put this in. I mean, it's just a reminder. I mean, this puts us in compliance with, you know, the state law or the law that was passed that we have to zone for this, but effectively with the action that we took here, I can't remember if it was a month or 2 months ago, with the requiring of a business license being both federal and state laws, it basically prohibits any of that from happening, correct? But this, by doing the zoning, is it puts in compliance with the zoning aspect of the law that was passed. So, you know, with that, I'd like to make a motion to accept as first reading ordinance number 009-2014, adopting zoning regulations to be codified in Chapter 18.70 MMC, marijuana-related uses, as sections 18.70.030 and 18.70.040 to zone for state licensed facilities, adopting findings in support thereof, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gamble. I have a second from Councilmember Gearing. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. Paul, can you bring that map back just for a moment? I just have one area I was curious about. You have a white area in the middle of all the orange and red right there. In the center of the, basically the center of town. No, over to the right. Right there.
Right there.
What's that?
Well, there's a little pocket there that's outside of the buffers.
Really?
But by the zoning, then that would be, I think it's either downtown neighborhood or mixed use, but you cannot locate a marijuana-related business in that zone, whatever that zone is. The same for the all this white area here. There's no zone in there. That means for a commercial that would allow a business to locate, never mind the buffers.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion items? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, motion passes 4-0. Next item that we have on the agenda is AB 14-101, resolution number 019-2014, approving final plat, Eaglemont Estates, Phase 1. Paul?
Thank you. This is up for final plat approval. It's the Division 1, or the first phase of Eaglemont, first of three phases. This is about, this is 63 lots. North is actually to my left, so this would be Sinclair Heights right down along in here. Chain-Link Road is off the top of the screen, but the improvements are in place. What they're doing is bonding the final lift or final course of asphalt in the streets, and they're bonding some park equipment and some like street trees and some other landscape that is better done in the fall, not during the of summer. So we're pretty much ready to go with this. And once that everything is wrapped up and the plat recorded, they can start pulling building permits.
Okay. Council members? Councilmember Gearing?
Nobody else. Yeah. I move to approve resolution 019-2014, approving the final plat for the subdivision known as Eaglemont Division Number 1, PL 2012-03, authorizing the mayor and city clerk to execute written approval on the face of the Eaglemont Division Number 1 final plat upon completion of review and approval by the city engineer, subdivision administrator, and once all necessary financial securities have been submitted and fees paid.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We're going to move on now to council member reports. Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. Had a successful knee surgery on Friday. I want to thank all the great people at Valley General. That was a really very positive experience. I know there can be differing opinions on health care in the region, and I just want to say I had a great, really glad we have a hospital here in town, and I received great care. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, great weekend out at the ball field. We were showcased again, so the Legends had their 8-10U tournament this week. Had quite a few teams from the east side, even had a team out of Langley that came down from Canada. Parks folks did a great job, kept the fields prepped. 9U team took home the championship from Monroe, so that was great. Just a good all the way around. And then this next weekend we have the 11U through 13 on their way, and yesterday football, so started, football camp for Bearcat football started, so three quarters of the town's up at the high school.
Exactly.
Councilmember Davis.
Nothing this evening, thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Kim.
Nothing.
Okay. Staff, chief.
We have two officers in motorcycle training. I have not heard a word from them in 2 days. I don't know whether that's good or bad. They're there.
Officer Stamey was one, and who else? Who were the?
Patton. Javier
Patton and Stamey. Thank you.
Paul.
We had a hearing with the Board of Management Hearing Board last week on Houston Row. Expecting a decision August 26th or 4. It's about a 3-4 hour hearing. Interesting process. We then continue to be fairly busy. Housing Hope submitted plans today for the north, recent member of the north side of Main Street. That should be happening fairly soon. Got a couple pre-apps for more subdivisions, and this week we're expecting three subdivisions to come in. One is Bear Mountain Estates for the next review or the next submittal, and that this could well be the last submittal before going up for approval. And two more additional phases of Eaglemont beyond the original three phases, a couple of adjacent properties. For the short flats, doing some infill in the middle part of town. I always like to see those infill projects. And, a fair amount of ongoing construction, like Walmart, Kidney Center, lots of TIs. We're busy. So we're basically going to pick up a lot real soon. So
we're not afraid. We're ready. Anything else, Paul?
No, I think they covered it.
Okay. Our city administrator is gone to Eastern Washington because of fire.
Yeah.
And so he's excused from tonight's meeting. So let's just go ahead and hop into the agendas. Let's take a look at the meeting for the, let's see, that's the 22nd, that's tonight. Okay, so the 12th. As you can see on there, we have the Monroe Chamber of Commerce coming in to give a brief presentation. We also have H3O coming in, Brad Smith, to talk about how things are going with that project. You can see that we have for a public hearing adopting the new interim sign code regulations. You can see also what's on consent. And are there any questions about the draft agenda for August 12th? Please note that we do not have a meeting next week, and we do not have a meeting on the 5th. That is National Night Out. And I would encourage everybody to be there. Okay, any questions on the agenda? All right, moving over to the extended agenda. Again, as I noted before, next week is the 5th Tuesday, no meeting. August 5th is canceled for National Night Out. You can see for yourself on there what is on the list. Does anybody have any questions, comments, or good jokes?
Good.
Okay. Seeing none, I'll just go through very quickly a couple of bits of correspondence and some of the things that I was working on last week. First, I'd like to call your attention to an email that I don't know because they do a BCC on these, but I'd imagine that you were copied in them. The title on it from DOT is Drivers Should Prepare Extended Closure of SR 522 Ramp to Eastbound U.S. Highway 2. There's a map in there showing how access would go around basically as council member Gamble expressed earlier this evening. It's just going back to the old way for about 3 or 4 weeks. And as I'm saying that, it will end August 21st, and I think the fair begins August 21st. So I guess the good news is it should be done in time for the fair. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm thinking the same thing.
No kidding.
The roundabout. Council had requested that we take a look at the cost of putting in a flagpole. We have an approximate cost. We're still waiting for the exact details, but it's about $22,000, give or take, for a flagpole. I think that we're at 40 feet. The flagpoles, to give you some idea, here in the downtown are between 60 and 70 feet in height. And the landscape architect said that he or she can make it work with a 40-foot height. One of the things that makes us think maybe the 40 feet is okay on that is that it is up on a hill, and that's a little bit different than the two that are here in the downtown, which are down in the flat. So we'll come back with more detail on that, but I wanted to let you know that that hasn't been dropped. Brad's been on vacation, and we're still gathering that information. So, okay. Next item, I did attend portions of the East Monroe Growth Management Hearings Board meeting, and so there were a number of people out in the audience for that. I also met with the chamber last week. One of the big things that was discussed was the work that's going on in the downtown and some concerns that have been expressed by a couple of the property owners in the downtown. Directly following the meeting, I went over and met with Eldon from Hill Street Cleaners to talk to him about some access issues he was still having. And I understand staff is following up with another property owner that had a business owner that expressed concern about the duration of the project. So remember, we have another one of these scheduled for next year, and I've requested that staff just be really, work really hard with the neighboring business owners to make certain they have access and that expectations are communicated well, and so on. So that was a contact I had. The other thing that we talked about in the lunch with the mayor, with the chamber board, was the steam stack, the smoke stack, and I think that you will have seen some correspondence that I had forwarded to council members. There was one person that expressed an interest in doing something different with the steam stack. And just a couple bits to note, the stack is located on private property, so the final decision on that will be that property owner. Right now, what I'm understanding loosely through social media is that the trees and the river is the one that's sort of winning right now. So if any council members have any concerns about the designs or anything, please let me or Una know. But that's kind of the way things are going. The talk now is that rather than having this complete before the Fair Days parade, it's probably looking at September right now. So she's still moving forward with the board to try to get this done sooner than later, because we'd like to see something done with that. Or so yeah, and that's one thing that has been expressed by a couple people as well. So the other thing, we had the joint school board meeting last night. We went over the citizen advisory committee's recommendation to the school board. Liz forwarded information to you via email that includes what that list is. Everything above the red line can be funded with your current property taxes. Not if we ignore the term rates and everything, we all want to know how much is actually coming out of our pockets rather than playing games with rates and things like that. So the thing is that everything above that red line on that sheet of paper can be accommodated with how much we currently pay in our property taxes. And so I'd encourage you to take a look at that list. Councilmember Camp or Davis, do you have any thoughts that you wanted to share from last night's meeting?
I think you covered it.
Okay. The final thing that the board brought up, because it is below the red line, is having a new administrative building. And at least two of the board members that were there last night expressed their continued commitment to want to do a shared facility. Councilmember Hanford and Councilmember Camp also shared that same commitment to doing that. I filled in the board the fact that our staffs had met. One of the things that I had requested was that not just having the idea people in the room that want to have, not just having the idea people, the facility planners in the room was what I wanted, but I also wanted to have the finance people in the room to make certain that that as the idea people are moving forward with the capital facility planning, that the bean counters, as we call them, the money people are there to provide some balance as to what can be afforded. So we've had one or two meetings so far, and I know that Gene, as of this morning, was working on scheduling a third meeting in the next couple weeks. So we are moving forward with that, and when we have some more definitive plans and a better financial set of options, we'll go ahead and bring forward a package, if that's okay. All right. Okay, and I think that's all I have for myself. Does anybody have anything else for this evening? Seeing none. Oh, Councilmember Gamble.
Move to adjourn.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Gamble. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much, everybody.
All right.